Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to you, YouTube. It's good to have you with us. Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us. Good evening to all of our Zoomers. It's good to have you guys with us. We just want to say good evening because it is a beautiful, another beautiful day here in North Dakota. A little hazy today. A little hazy, but hey, it's it didn't stop us from go traveling around and seeing the sights, did it, Dad? We went a driving, and it was a beautiful trip. Got to see the big lake over here. Had a great hamburger sandwich. My hamburger was called the Barnyard, and it had a piece of ham, had a couple pieces of bacon. Had some sausage, had an egg, and a burger. It was a good sandwich. And then it had lettuce and onion and tomato and pickles to go on. It was a great sandwich. You ought to try it someday. Anyways, we welcome you today. Hopefully, wherever you were, it was a beautiful day today. And, you know, we're going to get started here in a you know, I think regularly about what God's done for us here at the Community of Faith. All of you on Blog Talk Radio, 53 nations on Blog Talk Radio. That's amazing. 53 nations. All of you on YouTube, and we don't even know how many nations are on YouTube, but all of you that come and join us on YouTube, and I think regularly, how does God put all of this together? Because we've not advertised nothing anywhere. We just don't advertise. Because my opinion has been that God knows my name and God knows everybody else's name. And if he wants you to be connected with me, he's going to make that happen. I don't have to go work by effort to try to find you. He's going to supernaturally connect us together, and it's going to make for a powerful relationship that only God can make. And then that's the relationships that last. All this stuff that we try to do in our own strength, and your characteristics are like mine, and you like what I like, and you dislike what I like, and all that stuff. Man, that gets to be a big old mess. And we don't want in any way a mess. And so we just keep saying, make those supernatural divine connections for us, Father. And you know what? He does. He makes them connections, just like our brother's been joining us over here on YouTube. We're glad to have you with us, man. Come back often and be with us. If you haven't seen it yet, on YouTube, we now are up to 185 subscribers. I think that's pretty good. And, isn't that interesting? Well, everybody give me just a minute. For some reason, it's starting our YouTube channel out. On private, let me do a couple clicks here, see if I can change that. Because I want all y'all on YouTube to be able to see it. Now, let's say this while we're getting ourselves started here. remember this on our YouTube videos. We always have an introduction where we're talking about things that's going on, what we're doing, talking about what we're teaching. We just sit here and talk, you know. But I encourage you when you come, you may not be the person that wants to hear all that stuff. And that's all right. If you don't want to hear it, I would encourage you to help me out, all right? How can I do that, Pastor? Well, isn't that something? Preacher man. Interesting. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm trying to talk and do this at the same time. For whatever reason, we got this situation going on. I'm not sure. It's right now, so people have the ability to get caught up to us. Now, as I started to say, if you are one of those that are with us on a regular basis, I would encourage you to learn how to do some timestamps. I welcome timestamps here on our YouTube channel. What's a timestamp fest? That's where you are studying a message, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's a powerful point that you just made, Pastor. And when that happens, you stop the video. At the top of the video, there'll be a timestamp. And that timestamp, you take that first time, stick it in a comment, and put it in a very specific format that is like, second, and you make a timestamp, and you can do that for the beginning of the message. You can do that for any point you want to make. You can put a timestamp in for every reference that happens, and I encourage you to do that. It makes studying a YouTube video so much better. Don't just watch videos. Study them. Get your Bible out. Get your pen out, your paper out. Get your device out, your tablet, your cell phone, your computer, your Etch-a-Sketch, whatever it is you use.
You could take some cool notes on
Etch-a-Sketch. You could take some cool notes on Etch-a-Sketch, but be careful because they might disappear real quick and you might not be a happy camper till you get them all copied. Etch-a-Sketch, that was a modern-day tablet back in Phyllis days.
Back in my day, that was my tablet.
So I say that on purpose because I just want you to enjoy our videos. And the day will come when we'll have them all edited down. But even at that point when they're all edited, still put timestamps in. I put timestamps in everywhere I go. Last week during the Holy Spirit Conference, I put timestamps in Dr. messages. Why? He said something powerful. And when he did, I added a timestamp to it. All it does is in the comments, the next time somebody comes and they look at that comment, they're going to see that blue number and say, what's that? And then when they click it, it takes them right to that exact spot in the teaching. And man, if you hear me make a statement that just rings your bell and sets you on fire, put it in there for somebody else because somebody else needs to have their bell rung and be set on fire. Mm-hmm. Well, don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. Now, tonight, go ahead, fellas.
I was just telling you, you know, I put mute on my, for your convenience, not mine.
So I actually have the ability to get the message preached, right? Well, thank you for being here and being a part. Tonight, we're going to study One with the Father, hearing his voice. We were studying it last night, One with the Father. And we're just going to stick with this for a while. And that's how God does it. He gives us a topic. He gives us a subject. He gives us a thought. And then we just go and dive in. One of the greatest Bible study processes you'll ever have, okay, is you must listen to Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and Jimmy Swaggart. No. The best Bible study you'll ever have is when you open up this book all by yourself, just you and God. I didn't do it. Don't point it at me. Somebody just got rebuked by Sister Leanne, and it wasn't me. She just looked at me. I didn't do nothing wrong. I'm telling you right now.
Seriously, there's a lot of people tell me that I'm nuts when I say God told me such and such. It was mental telepathy. He didn't have to say it out loud, but I know that he told me because I wasn't smart enough to think of it by myself.
Yeah.
But that's what reading the scripture is. That's when reading the scripture really gets exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to shut up.
Well, and when you use the Greek word for what Sister Phyllis just said, it is revelation, revealed word of God. There's the logos, that's the written word. And there's the, what's the other word? Logos is the written word, and the other one is the spoken word, rhema. The rhema, word of God, and that means the word came alive. And And I'm not riding a Harley today, or a Honda. I'm riding a Harley. Get the Honda out of here. Now, so tonight we're going to study one with the Father, hearing his voice. There's a lot of people that want to talk to God. There's a lot less people that actually want to hear God talk to them. It's a lot of people that talk to God. But there's a whole lot less number of people who will actually listen to God talk to them. And that is actually the more important part of your Christian life.
Amen.
is not talking. And God said to one man after, Andrew Womack said one day, I'm praying, and he said, after a while, I was praying along, and I heard God go, he's like, yes, Lord. He said, could I get a word in here, please? He's like, what do you mean? He says, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm praying. He goes, that's not praying, Andrew. That's complaining. Whoops. Dr. Barclay said one time he was praying, and he heard God clear his voice. And he said, I thought, man, that's not good when that's what I hear coming from the Father. So he said, I just stopped and said, yes, sir. He said, would you mind getting off the throne and letting me be God for a while? Woo! Woo! You don't want to experience that day too many times. So anyways, I've tried to say this 5 or 6 times, and the women in this program keep interrupting me. Just bit her tongue. She grabbed it with her fingers and held her tongue so she didn't speak. No, the greatest Bible study you're ever going to do is figure out how to find every time a specific word is used in the Bible. Now, let me just give you a couple references that you should be able to use. One of those references is, do we not have, I'm off subject for a minute. Do we not have the live chat thing? I do not have it yet. There it is. I'll go over here. So write these down. One is called the Knaves Topical. Knaves Topical. It looks like a Bible. And it's filled with the Word of God. However, it's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is all topical. So, let's say the word Abraham. It's in alphabetical order, so it's going to tell you everything about many things about Abraham. Let's say righteousness. Maybe you want to study righteousness. You can turn back to the hours, find righteousness, and it'll show you all of the words on righteousness that's in the Bible. Another one is called the Strong's Exhaust. How do you spell that? Concordance. Man, for some reason tonight, I'm having trouble typing and talking. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. That's another really good one. The Thompson Chain Reference. Whoops. Well, Fingers Work. Reference Bible. Now, why are you giving this to us? Oh, and then there's e-sword.net. And then what's the one that you have, Dan? My Sword?
My Sword.
Now, but why are you giving us this? Because in this day of the internet, there are so many people on the internet preaching that you got to get yourself focused on where God wants you to be and stay there and don't go anywhere else. Just stay where he wants you. If you're watching somebody or you're studying with somebody and you're like, man, this just doesn't match my spirit at all. Go ahead, Dan.
You can also put eSword though on Android now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. How long has that been out?
Oh, probably a year, maybe a little better. I don't remember when it was. I did it.
Really? Is it work?
Yeah, it works. It's not going to be exactly the same as yours is, but it works. Right.
All right. Thank you, brother. You got any other ones you want to share?
We're good.
All right. Actually, I'm going to add one more. Where's that? What's that website that we tell people to go to? Bible Gateway. BibleGateway.com. And the other one is BibleHub.com. All right. Now, all of these are great resources to help you study the Bible. Because here's what ends up happening in the kingdom. And that is, we listen to Moody or Wesley or Finney or, Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or Wigglesworth or John G. Lake, Brother Copeland, all these different. And I'm not against any of those people in any sense of the word. But you end up just hearing the voices, oh my goodness, the verses that they, the voices.
You've been hanging out with an English lady on Blog Talk.
that's the Blog Talk lady's influence, the voices. But if you're not careful in the kingdom, you end up just focused on just a few verses. But I'm going to share my screen right now, and I'm going to show you my eSword. Now, this is very interesting. I'm doing this tonight. I did not have this in the plan at all. But it doesn't matter. I like to do these kind of things from time to time to help people see how to make this happen. Now, this is my eSword, which is my Bible program. All right? You'll notice over here on the left-hand side of the screen is the abbreviation of all the books. All you got to do is click on that, like I just clicked on Esther. It'll show you the chapters. You click on chapter 7, and it'll take you right there. My screen is split in half on eSword, and the bottom half is actually the Strong's Concordance for the same verse that I'm working on the top half, which is a very powerful tool. Now, inside of this app, If you go to this center spot, right here in the top of the page in the middle, see my mouse there? You'll see Bible, cross-reference, search, and history. And you click on the search. Now, let's just study this word right here. Righteousness. I want you to see this. 296 times the word righteousness is used in the Bible. How many of those verses do you actually know? If you ask that to most people, they might be able to give you 4 or 5 verses about righteousness. But 296 times, actually 315 times, in 296 verses in the Bible, in the New King James Version, it talks about righteousness. And if you don't know what all those are, then guess what that means? That means there's a portion of God that we don't understand. Now, everything that we do understand about him, that's good. Don't feel bad about it. But the reason I say to do this is, if there's another whole side of righteousness we've never seen, don't you want to know it?
Yeah.
Well, who in the world is better to trust than the Word of God itself? The Word of God himself. Now, I'm going to go over here right where you see my mouse right here, in the top left, and I'm going to click on the letters NT. This is the New Testament. 87 verses have 95 times the word of righteousness is actually used in the New Testament. Now let's look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Out of that 95, only 13 of them are in the Gospels and Acts. That means from Romans chapter 1 through Revelation 22, 83 times God talks about righteousness. Dad's staring at me like, you going to preach now too? Are you going to preach now too? No? Okay. <laughs> 83 times in the New Testament, from Romans to Revelation, the word righteousness is used. Here's the reality of this. How many of those verses can you actually quote? No, you can't look away. I'm asking you a question. You know what's interesting? Sitting here right now, judging myself on this very issue, I bet I can only quote 5 or 6, maybe 7. I could refer to many of them. But see the power of that? If there's 83 verses from Romans to Revelations on righteousness and we don't know them, what is it about God we don't know that's going to be a blessing we never even knew was available to us? Because it's not going to get worse. It's going to get better than what we actually even understand. So that's the whole purpose I gave you all those different study aids tonight. Because I want to be a blessing to you, and I want you to be able to walk with God. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I'm not a Greek scholar like you. I'm not a Greek scholar. Listen, let me say it differently. I took Greek, and Greek took me. I knew good in Greek. Check it out. This is one of my favorite stories to tell. I was in Bible college. Brother Dan and I went to the same Bible college in Eastern Kentucky. Great place. Good people. Messed up religious demon tried to chase you around after that. But anyways. And I think you took Greek in your first year. Yeah, you must have in your freshman year. In my class, my freshman year, there was a Japanese student, okay? A young man. His name was Junichi Saigo. All right? Junichi Saigo. And he was a Japanese guy. He was actually from Japan. You know, he couldn't hardly speak English. All right? I want to make this point. That guy couldn't speak English much. But he could read an English study book about Greek, and he literally aced the whole class. He got absolutely every question right, and all the extra credit. We got no grading on a curve anywhere all year long. When it ended up at the end of the year, his grade point average was like 107. You know how you're happy if you get a 96? Yeah. His was 107 or whatever the crazy number was. And we're like, thanks, Janice. You messed it up again, didn't you? Oh, I'm very sorry, very sorry. So I didn't do good with Greek. However, Esor does real good with Greek. And any word I want to know about, I can go find it in Esor and I can say it to you. And then I can give you a simple layman's definition of Greek. And then we can turn on the Dutch sheets and that man understands Greek Hebrew. And we can get it from him because he puts it out where you can have it. If you like the study of Greek and Hebrew, I would encourage you to go and study after Rick Renner. Rick Renner has two major-sized books, like this thick, this wide, this long. They're called The Gems of the Greek, where he makes a devotional book out of the Hebrew and Greek words. And each day, 365 days, he studies a different Greek or Hebrew word. And it tells you something amazing about God. And you know what? Rick Renner was just a good old Southern Baptist preacher boy, and Jesus got a hold of him. And Rick Renner went to Russia and started a church on Red Square in Moscow. And they told him, you can't do that here. He said, God told me to, so you can get out of the way. And the three men from the SS that tried to stop him all lost their mind. And today, on Red Square, is a church pastored by Rick Renner. R-I-C-K-R-E-N-N-E-R. Pastor, I thought we was going to preach the word. Well, I am. But you know what? I like it when we get to do this kind of stuff. Because it helps you. I really recommend Esor. It's, well, it used to be free. It's not free anymore, is it? Did yours cost you, Dan?
Yeah, it cost a little bit. I think it was just more of offering than anything, but, you know, it just wasn't a big thing.
Yeah. If it's a love offering, show him lots of love because the man has done an amazing thing for years.
Oh,
and it's always been free. It's always been free. And that man's crown in heaven is going to be huge. Because his name is Rick. He's the guy that put it together. And if you send an email into their help department, a lot of times he answers the email himself. Now, it's been that way. I've been on Esor now since 2002 or 3, 4, whenever it came out. I had it right when it came out. And it's been on every computer I've ever had since. And as soon as we could get it on our iPhones, it got on the iPhone. It's now on my tablet. Thank God I got a tablet. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus, for a tablet. Anyways, any way we can help you like that, you might not be up on all the apps. But if you're looking for a verse and you can't seem to find it, go to BibleHub.com. Those guys, if you can just give them a statement that is a portion of what the verse says, they can find that verse for you, and then a whole bunch that's just like it. The Knaves Topical and the Thompson Chain, let me see here. The Knaves Topical and the Thompson Chain. Oh, you know, there's one more. I want to give you this one, too. Vine's Expository Dictionary, I think it's called. And that's another good one. But that has, they all have an app that you can search and get. And it really is great. I got Naves. I got Thompson. I got Vines. I've got Bible Gateway and Bible Hub app all right here on my phone. So it's a great way to get into studying the Bible and truly come into an understanding about the verses of the things of God. Now, what are we studying tonight? Did anybody see a title at all?
I did.
Did you make the title or did I?
You did.
Are you sure?
One with the Father carrying his voice.
See, she pointed her finger at me just like she's the one that made it. I know she was. Amen. And if you're new to us and you're not used to a husband and wife talking to each other this way, don't worry. We're at peace. Everything's cool here. Wait, let me just pause. Is everything cool? Nope, wasn't cool. So here we go. This is one of my most favorite messages I ever teach right here. One with the Father. Why? This revolutionized my life to realize Father wants me to be one with him. Like one, joined, united, tight. So let's do this. Let's go to the book. Something like that. 90-second lady. Let's go to the book. Let's go to John chapter 5. Who all's with us? Anybody with us over here on YouTube yet? You and me?
Yeah.
John Wayner, show up. Roger Oxley, show up. What's our new friend's name?
Richard,
show up. We love you. Wait, I understand if you're not here. John chapter 5. Hey, Okalarsi's here.
I was just going to say, we
Okalarsi.
Haven't seen
Okalarsi
in a while.
Woo!
Good to see you.
Wait, three cheers for Okalarsi. Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
All the way from Den, Sweden, Mark. I don't know why I have so much trouble. Where are you at, Sweden? John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is a good story. Don't you like the good stories from Jesus? Sweden.
Sweden, yep.
She's from Sweden. Everybody get it right, would you? You guys quit trying to say something else. It's Sweden. Now, John chapter 5 is one of the great stories of the New Testament. And I'll tell you, it's not one that many Pentecostal preachers preach on. Hey, Roger Oxley, you're here and you're late. You're penalized. You can't make any comments for 5 minutes. You're late. Make all your comments, Roger. Love you, brother. It's good to...
Yeah, listen to anything you have to say, Roger. Don't pay no attention to it.
No. Hey, Roger and anybody else that may have had trouble finding us tonight, when this video first came live tonight, it said it was private.
Really?
Yeah, I don't understand, but it don't matter. You keep looking for us. And if all else fails and you can't find us, then you make sure you send me a text right here to my phone. Or send me an email. It'll pop up on my screen, and I'll be able to see it. We'll make sure we can get a link to you because, you know, like, subscribe, and hit the bell usually means you get a notification, but who knows why sometimes it doesn't happen. It's most certainly not the fault of the app. That couldn't be true, could it? Here we go.
Wow.
Let's pray our opening prayer. Would you like to do that? I would, too. It was my idea, not yours. Here we go. Getting closer. Isn't that an awesome picture that it opens up to? I love the picture of the cross. Didn't Sister Leanne do a great job of making our set? I think it's just wonderful.
I'm in the YouTube delay.
You're in the leg.
Oh, yeah, in the leg. There you go.
We haven't talked about the leg lately either. Just so you all know, there is a leg.
There is a leg from your desk to mine.
From this desk to that one, there's a leg on YouTube. But just hang in there. And remember, when you're watching YouTube, you don't know there's a leg. We know there's a leg. And when you ask a question, give me about 2 minutes. And then I get to see it or something. Don't worry about it.
Well, let me tell you, there's a full 15 seconds lag from your program and the YouTube on television. That's really aggravating.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you see something come flying through the internet, it's Sister Phyllis. She threw her cup, all right? But don't worry about it. She's a nice lady.
That Louisiana temper going on.
Oh, there's just nothing more frustrating than when you're trying to get something done and it doesn't let you do it, you know?
Yeah.
Did you join or somebody else?
Somebody else.
I can't get to them. Here we go. Let's say our opening prayer and then we'll get to the somebody else. Ready? Say it with me. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit,
in Jesus' name.
We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God. And glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Let's say this one. The commanded blessing of unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the beard of Aaron, on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life evermore, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. I want to get this one here. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. Ephesians 4. Now listen. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were all called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. And let's stop the share. Let's go over here. Let's stop the share. All believers are one and the same. Let's stop the share. Let's go now. Good to have you with us tonight, Brother Lee.
Thank you.
Welcome to come back and be with us anytime. You can even shout hallelujah if you want.
If you've got something to preach about, we'd be happy to hear it. Mm-hmm. I said, if you got something to preach about, we'd be happy to hear it.
And now, we're going to make our confession together about our Bible. Don't worry about all this switching screen stuff. I don't mind because I like it. Now, why do you put this stuff up like this, Pastor? Because I want us all to be able to say the same word. The greatest power on the face of this earth is Christians who will agree together on a specific thing. It's the greatest power on the face of the earth. Well, one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000, three puts, we don't know how many. And when all of us are saying the same thing, it makes a huge difference around the world in Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Say this with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says. I am because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. And God bless you. We have to pray over the technology. You ain't just a kid, sister. Pray over this stuff every day. Now, here we are. Did what? Yes, I did. Sister Sunday was trying to get in.
Hi, Sunday.
I was thinking earlier today when we were on this morning, that if you signed on to Zoom with your phone, and when it gets to the part where it says volume, and you just click no volume or no audio, then it might be able to let you be the one that lets everybody in and do all that kind of stuff, but without having a back. Every now and then we get a back feed around here. We don't like them back feeds at all. Now, hallelujah. Thank you, Roger. You're doing great, man. Hey, here's Sister Leanne. There.
So I am here.
Sister Leanne is here. No backfeed. John chapter 5. We're not having any more delays of reading this verse of scripture. After these things, listen to the story of Jesus. People forget this verse is in the Bible, but listen. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos or porches. In these five porches lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. When the water moved, an angel went down at certain times and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. That's a long time to be sick.
It is.
It's a long time. When and I want to just pause and say, thank you, Lord, I've not been a sick person. Amen. Aren't you glad you've had good health all your life? This is a hardworking man right here. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to the man who was sick, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Now think about what Jesus just asked the guy. Do you want to be made well? And you and I would think that the automatic answer would be, well, yeah, certainly. And yet when the man gave Jesus an answer, he said, "I don't have anybody that can put me in there." What did he do? He put the responsibility of him getting healed on somebody else's shoulders. If I don't have somebody else to help me, I can't make an effort. I can't be healed. Have you ever been there in your life? I know I've been there in my life in that place before. But Jesus didn't even listen. He didn't even hear what he said. He said to the man who was lame for 38 years, "Rise up and take up your bed and walk." Well, now, if you was just standing there, you would say, who in the world does Jesus think he is telling a man who's obviously been lame for 38 years, rise up and walk? And yet, look at what it says. Immediately the man was made well and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. I mean, Jesus broke a whole lot of rules. Because he, as a rabbi, he wasn't supposed to be in the middle of the sick people. The temple, the feast was going on, and he was supposed to be there. And yet, Jesus went into this place where there was a multitude of lame people, sick people. And he only healed one person that day. Only one person. There was a lot of sick people there. But he only healed one on that day. I don't know, Pastor. Well, I don't know either. I was asking you, so say something intelligent. Watch this. Let's look at this. I'm missing my verse. Let's try this word. Nope. All right. Have a good evening, Dad. Love you. Luke chapter 7, verse 22. Luke chapter 7, verse 22. Go there real quick. Amen, Dan. That's good. Luke chapter, what did I say? 7, verse 22. Amen. That's good. 7, 22. Jesus answered and said to John the Baptist's disciples, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Was exactly what Jesus' assignment was on this earth. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. So Jesus just said there to John the Baptist disciples, I'm going to tell you right now, this is what's going on. Tell John, I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. And tell him what you're seeing. Matthew 12, 15. Look at this. But when, this is Matthew 12, 15. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So why did Jesus only heal one man in this place? Let's keep reading, and we're going to find out the answer. And it's about this one with the Father hearing the Father's voice. Now watch this. Oh, how far did we get? Verse 10. The Jews, therefore, so I'm in John 5:10. John 5:10. And here we go. The Jews, therefore, said to him, who is cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Typical religious person making a mess out of somebody's miracle day. Well, what do you expect me to do with my bed? Just leave it laying out there in the road or in the porch? And they would have said, yes, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. But the one who was healed did not know who it was. Wait, I missed a verse. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? 13. The one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Now, Jesus didn't go up to this feast because he had to go to the next one, which was the Passover. Watch. 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Here is Jesus, who has had 15 minutes of time with this man, maybe, and he's telling him, go and sin no more. How in the world, excuse me, in the world can you and I look at somebody that's just been born again and say, go and sin no more? Well, Jesus did it. And we are following in his footsteps. And he is our example. He's the head. We're the body. We're going to do exactly what Jesus did on this earth. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth. We're Jesus. Don't change your name. But on this earth, as he is in heaven, so are we on this earth, one with him and the Father. Now let's keep reading. Verse number 16. Or actually, we're in 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Isn't that something? Here he is. He just healed a man who has been sick, or been maimed for 38 years, lame. They didn't heal him, but Jesus walked up and healed him. But they're offended because Jesus can heal and they cannot. They can keep all 613 laws and not break them, but they can't get anybody healed. And that makes Jesus more important than them. And they're jealous and they're filled with pride. Pride comes along and brings hatred. Verse 16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working, talking about doing this work on the Sabbath. Therefore, the Jews sought to kill him all the more. Well, we're going to really kill you now. And because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. That's very interesting. He called him my father, and the Jews said he's making himself equal with God. Well, he was. He was God, but he was man. 19, Jesus answered and said to them. Now, don't miss this verse right here. Somebody write this reference in John 5, 19. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he, the Father, does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does and will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now, what did Jesus just say? Of myself, I can do nothing. Now, wait a minute. You got to let this reference and this understanding hit down inside of you and produce a revelation. Then, when I said, how come Jesus only did one miracle? He said, because that is all he saw the Father do there that day. And Jesus said, I can't do anything except what I see my Father do. And obviously on that day, the Father was only healing one person in that place, and that was this man. Oh, I know. It's like, yeah, but Pastor, why would the Father only heal one person when Jesus was all the time healing many people? I don't know. But Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. It's one of the greatest lessons that you and I can ever learn about our Christian life, and that is that we only do what it is that we see the Father doing. That we literally live our life in such a manner. Like, not just saying it, actually doing it. We live our life in such a manner every day that whatever we see the Father doing, we go do it. And whatever we hear him saying, that's what we say. Now, you might say, Pastor, that's really interesting. I've never heard anybody teach this before. Yeah, I know. There's not many people that do teach it. But it's because it's kind of scary, because you don't have any control of somebody who's being led and discipled and changed by God himself. You don't have any control of them. People who have a problem with this message are usually people who live their life because they have control over other people. Well, that's not our place ever. Never. Let me say it one more time, since I didn't get very many. Like Brother Andrew Walmack says, thank you for the thunderous silence. See, there was only one reason why Jesus only healed one person there that day, and that's because that's exactly what he saw the Father doing. Hey, but Pastor, what? I know. But learn this quickly about our God. All your yabbits in the world don't mean nothing to him, because he, Dr. Summerall says, God doesn't answer any dumb questions, not even my own. Now, it's not a dumb question. Let me. I'm making a joke. Just having a good time, enjoying the family here. But remember this: the Father has a purpose behind everything He does. He's not had one thought that wasn't on purpose. Every verse that's in this Bible is on purpose. Every one of these people that are writing as scribes. Holy men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. I need to find that verse. Well, let's go get it. 1 Peter. Chapter 2. No, it's not 1 Peter. It's 2 Peter. Chapter 1. I had it inside out. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. And let's go down here to 19, 20, and 21. Now watch this. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. God wants to be in your heart, and He wants the blessing to come on you in your heart. Verse number 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Every bit of your Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the reason why you find written what is written is because that's what the Father instructed the Holy Spirit to do and say, and then the Holy Spirit gave it to a man like me or someone like you to proclaim it and to change their world. Remember what Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. Now, all of a sudden, we get a look at this and say, oh, my Lord, if I can of myself do nothing, I better get myself in God so that I can get something done in this world. Now, that doesn't mean you have to ask God permission to go to the bathroom or brush your teeth or take a shower. Right? He thoroughly expects you to come to the understanding that that is a daily process as long as there is soap and water available. Now, I've been on a mission trip where there was not water available. There was soap. I had a good bar of soap. Interesting thing about a bar of soap is it's tough to get clean with just an old crusty dry bar of soap with no water. And we were in the Old Crow, Yukon, and it gets so cold there that they couldn't put pipes underneath the ground because they would freeze. Permafrost goes so deep, you'd never be able to insulate the pipes good enough that the water could actually flow through it. It's pretty cool because you take a shovel.
That is not cool.
You take a shovel and you shovel that first layer of permafrost, which is going to be thawed in the summer, and you shovel that off. And you're not going any farther without a pick because it is frozen solid. And when I was there, we were building a Christian school. So we would go in. We would shovel all the dirt off we could. And that would be frozen. And we'd go back the next day and shovel the next level down. It was 90 degrees that summer up there in Alaska. And then we'd go in the next day and we'd shovel that next layer off. Now, if you had a big backhoe, you could just go in there. But it wouldn't dig it out in a nice trench that they wanted. It would just take out huge chunks. And so you can't do that. You'll compromise the side of that ditch that you want. And so literally It took us about a whole week to dig down deep enough to put the sewer line in. And then when they put it in, they put it in with wood staves around it. So the pipe ran through the wood staves, and 6 inches of insulation was sprayed on it all the way around that pipe. And then about every 15 feet, they put a riser up where you could put a steam thing on it and still thaw it out in the middle of winter if it got really bad.
Wow.
So there was no running water in Old Crow, Yukon, unless you went down to the creek and ran in it, right? And so that was the only way you could get, you know, running water was to run, go get it. Now, I'm not an old man, but I do remember running water means get a bucket and run. Does anybody have any idea how we even got here?
I don't. But it was interesting. It makes me think that the area just wasn't meant for people to live in.
The Indians love it, and they're Inuit up there. And I'm sure there's a bunch of different. I made really good friends with Dick and Marion Nukon, N-U-K-O-N. And if you go to YouTube and you search their name, you'll actually find a video of them, because the caribou come through there in their annual migration. And so somebody, you know, what was that world exploration program that used to be on all the time?
Oh, what was that?
National Geographic. Yeah. National Geographic went there to Old Crow and filmed them when they do their caribou hunt and then the goose hunt. And everybody had a freezer in their house, and they would be able to shoot 5 caribou and then however many geese, and that was your food for the year. The last verse is wrong, and I'm not sure how to correct it. Sorry, I'm tired. It's 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. Thank you, Rebecca. Now, let's get back to the Word of God. I have no idea how we got to running water.
In Old Crow.
I just like to tell my story. I just keep thinking somebody's going to be able to get it. Here we go. Let's get back to the story. All of a sudden, it's going to come to us. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I can, this is Jesus. Jesus said, I can of myself do, this is Jesus saying, I can't do anything of myself. Yet when you go over to John 14, he says, greater works than these will you, that's you right there, you, greater works than these you will do in my name. Now, what's the title of the message tonight? Does anybody even know? One with the Father, hearing his voice. So when you go to John chapter 6 and you go down here, like Brother Dan, when I said, why did Jesus only do one miracle? He said, that's all he saw his Father doing. Well, watch what it says. Verse 19, John 5:19. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son, that's capitalized, can do nothing of himself. It makes you wonder if Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, the Son, capitalized, can do nothing of himself, except what he sees the Father do. For whatever he, the Father, does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows the Son all things. Somebody ought to shout, glory! That he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. But remember, it's only who he sees the Father doing it.
Huh.
Glory, hallelujah.
High five, Phyllis. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all the judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. Pastor, how in the world do I get to this place where I can see the Father doing things and then I do it and it just manifests? Now, wait, that's a question that all of us ask on a regular basis. I ask that question. And remember, Jesus made a statement. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Want to say it with me? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Anytime we're carrying a burden that's not light and easy, we're either trying to solve it in our flesh or we've accepted a burden that the enemy wants us to accept. Everybody online like, Pastor, what in the world does that mean? Scratch his back.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. For those of you that are new to us, you might be like, what is this program? Wait. I'm not in a building. I'm not in a fancy church. I haven't called everybody to order in a big meeting. Those are very proper to do that, right? This is you and I sitting at my desk. I'm studying, and I've opened my study up to you, and I would gladly help you study this week. That's what this is about. God is fun. God is real. God's not religious. You ever thought about that? God is not religious. Man is religious. But God's not religious. God's real. Let's get back to this, because we got to figure out how we can hear the voice of God like Jesus. You ready? Sister Leanne is going to give the first verse. So, having said that, everybody go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Oh, my. And when you get there, let's find a different chapter. What is not Matthew 13? What have we got? Luke 13. All right, where's the verse of scripture? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brother Dan or one of you, if you can find that. My yoke is easy. I know it's well, we only got one more to do, and that's Mark 13. Well, I totally missed that one. Anyways, somebody will find that reference for us and throw it in there. But here's what Jesus said. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what Jesus actually said there is, take my yoke upon you. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So Jesus is teaching us all the way through Matthew chapter 11. Well, of course, I knew exactly where that was. Brother Roger says close only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes. There it is. Actually, let's read verse 25 through 30. Matthew 11, 25 through 30. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Rebecca. Love you guys. So let's go to 25. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes, to simple believers. Jesus told the disciples, one, if you don't receive the kingdom as a little child, you won't even get a kingdom. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Jesus is praying to the Father here. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And Jesus said, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. No, that wasn't Jesus. That was Paul. Jesus said it somewhere. But anyways, look at what this says. 28. Come unto me. All. That just makes it available for everybody. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Look what it says. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Say this with me. It's not difficult to hear God's voice. He just said it. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's not difficult to hear God's voice. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. It's not difficult to hear God's voice. Because the Father lives in here. You're not trying to get revelation to come out of heaven, way up there, get through your thick skull, and get down into your brain. God doesn't need any more brainiacs. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Corinthians, knowledge puffs up. You become heady and high-minded, if that's all you're looking for. And then the anointing you carry from God, you'll make it all into actions and mood and persuasive hand movements and the inflection of your voice. And that'll be the moving of the Spirit to you. And that none of that has anything to do with nothing. I've seen God use some of the most untrained people you will ever meet in your life. Why? Because they were open vessels for God to use. And they had no other desire. Jesus is showing us right here that the Father is longing for you to know him. Now look at this verse. John 4, 21 And we'll give you the whole reference, 21 to 26. John 4, 21 to 26. Doing good, Rebecca. We love you. You do a great job. It's not hard to hear God's voice. John 4, listen, I say this often, so these are the most amazing verses on page 1378 in the New King James Version of the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Verse 21, woman, look at this, says, believe me, the hour is coming. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. But he didn't say you're not going to be worshiping the Father. He's just saying not here and not there. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Paul, Jesus said, go to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. All right? 23. But the hour is coming, and now is. That's 2,000 years ago. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, or you can say in spirit by the truth, the Word of God. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. I get the picture. You're longing to hear from God. The Father is seeking those who will listen to him. It is impossible for the two of you to not get together. But see, if you're going to hear his voice so you can say what he says, and if you're going to see what he's doing so you can go do it, you're going to have to spend time alone with him and shut all this stuff off. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I use my phone to study the Bible. I know. Put it on airplane mode. Don't offer to God something that costs you nothing. Put it on airplane mode while you're studying, using it as a study reference point. You can still take notes. You can still use your eSword, your Bible programs, here's the reality. It's the distractions of this day that keep us from enjoying what this is. The Father is seeking you. And here's the revelation. We're not Adam and Eve in the garden. We're not Enoch walking with God and he walked out of here. We're not Noah building the ark and obeying God. We're not Abraham, the beginning of the covenant. You and I are the culmination of what every one of those generations before Jesus learned about God and about his ways. We're the culmination of it all. We're all of that and more. And the book of Hebrews says we've been given a better covenant based on better promises sworn in the blood of Jesus, not in the blood of a bull or a goat. We have the greatest opportunity to walk with God there is and has ever been on this earth. We've got applications and technology that can get every word in the Bible right in our hand. We have the most amazing, powerful preachers, and anybody can get to them just about anywhere in the world, most certainly wherever there's their cell phone signal. When you put it on airplane mode, it can't ring, it can't buzz, you don't get a text, you don't get an email. You just study the word. And if you're going to understand and hear God's voice so you can say what he says and do what you see him do, you're going to have to get alone with him. Jesus would go into the Garden of Gethsemane and pray oftenly. I know that your English teacher doesn't like the word oftenly, but I like it. Jesus often went to the Garden of Gethsemane. But if you went there today, if you lived in Israel, and you went there to pray, now they're not going to let you get in where Jesus was in there praying because it's considered a holy place. You're going to have to, if you're going to do like he did, you're going to have to turn your phone off because he didn't have a phone that rang. He got alone with the Father for one reason, because he wanted to have that communion, one with the Father. These verses tell us that Jesus on this earth said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What's the yoke word? That means Jesus is in the left side of the yoke. You're in the right side. He's pulling the load and you're learning how. And you're right beside each other working step in step together. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Hebrews 11:6, he rewards those who diligently seek him. Jeremiah 29:12. I know you might know Jeremiah 29:11, but Jeremiah 29:12, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Give you another great reference about seeking him. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 26. Jesus said, there is nothing hidden in this word that won't be revealed if you will search it out. But you got to do some searching in order for you to be able to do some finding. Hey, God bless you, Elaine. Woo! Elaine, we really love you. It's so good to see you every time you show up. God bless you. Wait. Just do one more earthly thing before you get all spiritual on us. Tell us what your temperature is. Now, I'm in Mark chapter 4. This is the parable of the sower. Jesus said to his disciples and everyone around him in Matthew 4, 24 and 25, he said, take heed what you hear. There's a whole lot of people that want to hear God's voice, but they, watch this, but they don't shut these. And this thing's going like crazy, and this thing's going like crazy, and they got one on each ear, and you're not going to hear God's voice till you shut off all the noise. And the amazing part of it is when you shut off all the noise and you hear his voice, you get to do things and see things and experience things nobody around you has been able to experience who doesn't know how to enter into the presence of Almighty God. There's a lot of people that when they get alone with God, they don't even know what to do. They don't know what to do. That's why praying in the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives, the prayer language of the Spirit. Because when you don't know how to pray as you ought, the Holy Spirit will pray through you. And when you speak those words out in the prayer language of the Spirit, you will be led into a place in God and you will understand things in God that you've never understood before. Why? Because you're praying the language of the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, he said, if I speak in the tongue of men, English, German, Japanese, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels. So you have a native language. That's where you were born. But we also have the language of heaven that you get when you're born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit. You might say, Pastor, I don't have my heavenly prayer language. Well, Search for your heavenly prayer language with all your heart. Continually go before God saying, fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so I can walk with you, Jesus. I'm more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you are to ask. And guess what? When you ask him, he fills you. When he fills you, he gives you a place where you get to enter in and see and know and experience God. Why? Because he rewards those who diligently seek him. With the same measure of determination, with the same measure of determination you have to draw closer and hear his voice and see what he does, with that same measure, he measures it back to you again. I can tell right now somebody's saying, Pastor, explain this. You've been here before. Explain it to me again. I'm so glad you asked me to, because this is one of the most important sets of verses you'll ever study. Jesus said, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, the parable of the earth, the soil of your heart, if you don't understand that parable, how can you understand any of the parables? Now, it's been titled the parable of the sower, but really, it's the parable of the condition of the heart planted if the condition of the heart is not right. -87 degrees, wherever it is, Sister Elaine is. And I believe that you are on the island. Isn't that something? Anyways, welcome, Elaine. It's good to have you. Wait, we did 3 cheers for Okalachi. Let's do 3 cheers for Elaine. Hip, hip. Hooray. Hip, hip. Hooray. Hip, hip. Hooray. Welcome, Elaine. So good to see you. Let's read 24 and 25. Mark 4, 24 and 25. Now watch this. For with the same measure you use to hear, that measure will be measured to you again. Look at what it says. And to you who hear on purpose, make a point of hearing, more will be given to you who choose to hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, he who does not make a decision to hear, even what he has will be taken away from him. Not by God. It'll be taken away by the fiery darts of the enemy, and you won't be able to overcome it. Samoan Island. Man, I was putting you everywhere else. Sorry, sister. It seems I got everybody else on my mind too. And we know where you are, the Samoan Islands. It's so good to see you. Make sure you tell all your family we said hi. Thanks for stopping by. May the Lord's blessing that makes rich and adds no sorrow, abundantly blessed in every area of your spirit, your soul, your body, your mind, your will, and your emotion. May the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be yours in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, I'm determined to make a world tour and come see all y'all that's been a part of our program, because I would love to be there in the Samoan Islands, in Singapore, in Malaysia. Yes, Brother Tanvir, even in Pakistan. Woo-hoo! Pakistan, that's a little scary, but look at verse 25. I'm in Mark 4, 25. Whoever has, to him more will be given. Jesus is literally saying, if you will get focused on my word, the greatest way to be able to hear his voice is to read the word, because the more you read the word, the more that word brings life into all of your body. And it's in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 says, it is life to those who find it and health to all your flesh. That's this stuff. This book, read, spoken, listened to, going down in your heart, is life to those who find it and health to all your flesh. Do you have a knee ache? Read the Bible till the word gets all the way down to your knee, and your knee will be healed by this word. Surgeries these days, cutting this out and that out and changing this up, and my goodness sake, tell the doctor, get away from the knife and receive the healing that Jesus has for you. And it'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Now, don't remember what Jesus said. If you're listening well, you're receiving well. If you let the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, and mostly it's just the cares of the world, if you let them, it will choke out the word. And the more word, the less word you have, the more difficult it is to hear his voice. Let's grab one more set of verses. Oh, that's where it was. Romans. Romans chapter 8. I hope you enjoy the word of God as much as we do around here. Ready? Everybody shout it. I love the word. You're the only one. Or Phyllis, Dan, Rebecca, Sunday, say it.
I love the word.
Yes, you do.
Can you hear me yet?
Yes, you do. I'm in Romans chapter 8, and let's go down here to verse 11, and we'll read through 17. Romans 8, 11 through 17. These are verses. You guys hear me preach these verses all the time, but you're going to hear me preach them until you're going to hear me preach this verse until Jesus comes back and gets us. Ready? Romans 8:11. It begins with, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. But once you're born again and filled with his spirit, you can take the but if out of there, and you can say, since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Make it personal. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. That's breathing. That's health. That's strength. That's organ function. That's growth, development, sight, hearing, digestion. Will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. See, we got to get this revelation that God's not way out there somewhere trying to come down here and get through your thick skull, even though you may have had somebody in your life that flicked you on the top of the head and said, are you ever going to get it through your thick skull? That wasn't a very nice thing for them to do. Why? Because the word of God's not about your thick skull. The word of God is about will you receive what's actually on the page. Just say it with me. I receive it. See, people want to run to a preacher and say, lay your hands on me so I can be healed. Are you kidding? You have the spirit You have the same spirit inside of you that he has inside of him that's empowering him to be able to lay hands on you to receive. And that same spirit is in you. And you should be up at the altar helping him in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Guess what? The pipe that the water flows through first gets wet while the water's flowing through it. So when you are reaching out and touching other people and praying for them and asking God to heal them, as you speak healing out of your mouth and reach forth your hands to heal, that healing anointing and virtue is flowing through you first. And that healing power comes through your body first. And this verse says it's going to raise you from the dead. And it's going to give life to your mortal body. I know. Shout, woo! Because of his spirit who lives in you. Verse 12. We're talking about hearing his voice. He lives in here. It's not hard to hear from here to here. It's difficult when you think he's way out there somewhere and he's got to get through your thick skull. No, he lives in here. You're not born again into a born again club. You're born again into the very nature of Almighty God. This is good preaching. 12, therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Want to say it with me? I am led by the Spirit of God, therefore I am a child of God. Do it, Phyllis.
I am a child of God. Did you hear me?
Yes, you am. And you sure enough is. 15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit. Notice that word is capitalized. Of adoption, by which you cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with you, the Spirit man, that you are a child of God. And if children, then an heir. An heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I remember back to my first days of coming to the understanding that I am an heir of God. Oh my. What an amazing revelation that began to spread and broadcast inside of my being. And then the day came when you just realized, wait, God's not way out there somewhere. He's right in here. He's not going to have a hard time getting a revelation from here to here. That's just 8 inches. He lives in you. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Let's look at this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6, 15 through 20. This is why you know you can hear God's voice and you get to be one with him. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? You and I, our bodies are the members of Christ's body. He's the head, and we're the body. But God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God has raised up the Lord, and he will also raise us up by his power. 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make him members of a harlot? Certainly not, but the Corinthians were doing that. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Don't miss this next verse. 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We're one. And the Holy Spirit was inspiring Paul to say, just like a man and a woman come together and the two become one, to where once people are married for a while, you can't hardly tell them apart, except one's a male and one's a female, and you can tell that. But they think alike, act alike, talk alike. Now, I'm going to read 17 again. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you want to do like I did, I wrote right in my Bible next to that verse, John 17:20-24, because that's exactly saying the same thing in John 17. Let's read verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. He who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Look at this. Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Make you want to just get up and dance, run around the building and shout, whoa, 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 whoa.
I'll write until tomorrow morning.
All right, all right, all right. 2 Corinthians 6. I love this. Second Corinthians 6, 14 is the context. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? It doesn't. What communion has light with darkness? It doesn't. Light shows up, darkness disappears. It's like, you know, all y'all in the lower hemisphere, you don't get this. But it's like right now, it's 9:30. We're going to have sunshine here for another hour and a half. Yes, love?
You need to be part of the program.
All right. Get your Bibles out and study. Nobody gets to just sit around here. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We have a wonderful group of people here, don't we? Elaine's here.
Elaine
Tavili? Yeah.
Hi, Elaine.
All the way from the Samoan Islands, where it is 87 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Or 31 degrees Celsius.
See you here, Elaine.
That's awesome.
Rebecca.
We got Okalarsi from Sweden.
Yep.
We got Elaine from Samoan Islands. That's amazing.
It is. And we have Roger and Rebecca from Michigan. And Phyllis from Louisiana.
Sister Phyllis from Louisiana. Brother Dan is just a roaming prophet out there,
yes,
somewhere in Chicago or something.
Rebecca, it's dark here in Michigan.
I know. See, it's already dark there. I don't know why I was making that point, but I was making that point on purpose. I just paused to see if the reason would come out. It's probably just another one of the stories that we tell. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, do not be unequal yoke together with believers. 16, what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? Nothing. When they took the Ark of the Covenant in before Doeg, which was the god, the false god of the Philistines, the next day when they showed up, Doeg was laying on his face and his armor had fallen off. I think that's a cool story. So they set him back up and said, Doeg, don't fall over just because the ark's here. And the next day when they got back, his arms were off and his head. And diarrhea had broke out amongst all the people. And they said, it is time to get rid of that ark because that's messing everything up. I'm in chapter 6. Look at verse. You are the temple of, I'm in 16. You are the temple of the living God. Look at what God said. And this is quoted from Deuteronomy 28. No, it's quoted from Jeremiah 24. I have so many references written in my Bible right here. I don't even know what they all are, but they're good ones. One day I'm going to choose all of these references as a message to preach. Look at what he says. This is what God says. I will dwell in them. Say it. God's dwelling in me.
God's dwelling in me.
I will walk. Amen. I'll walk amongst them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's got to be one of the most wonderful promises in the whole Bible.
Amen.
Keep reading. Come out from among them, be separate. Do not touch what's unclean. I will receive you. Verse 18. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my son and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen, Phyllis. Shout or something.
Amen, brother.
I love our family. Pastor, you didn't tell me how to hear God's voice. Yes, I did. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Remember what Jesus said? Learn of me. Not me, Sam. Jesus said, learn of me. Him. Open up this book and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts. And listen, if you have trouble reading, some people do, you send me a message, an email. I'll send you the links to all the read the words from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And you can follow along right in your Bible and say the words right out loud as I do. Now watch this. You can use me as a learning aid to learn how to read better by just sitting down with your Bible, opening it up, pushing play on the YouTube video, and as I read, you do your best to read as fast as I am, and you will find that that video from God's Word teaches you to read faster than what you've ever read before. And you'll understand the Word of God. You'll understand.
Amen.
Amen. Well, there's the 92nd lady. Na-na-na-na-na. You didn't scare me this time. I ain't scared of her ever. She has made me jump a few times, though. As a matter of fact, she has made us all jump a couple times. What should we end this with? That's not what we're ending with, man. I just love this last part, verse 18. I will be a father to you. And where is he a father at? He's a father inside of us. I'll be a father to you, but I'm living inside of you. That's not way out there, guys. He lives right here.
And you don't ever even have to wake him up to talk to him.
I know. Isn't that awesome? Matter of fact, let me remind everybody that's listening. I mean, like everybody. I pray for every one of you to have a dream and a vision in the night. If you wake up all of a sudden with a start in the night, you'll know my prayer was answered. God gave you a dream, and now God's wanting to talk to you. And if you see the same dream twice, that means God's wanting to establish something in your life. And I'm praying for every one of you. And I pray for all of your family and anybody that knows you. Why? Because time is short and we want everyone who knows us to come to God. And that verse says in Job 33, 14 through 18, that verse says, God's speaking, but man may not perceive it. But in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you can get so good in your dreams, you can be like Solomon and ask a question in your dream. God gives you an answer and ask you a question, and you answer the question in your dream. And when you wake up, you find that what happened in your dream is actually real in your daily life.
Hallelujah.
Every day, no matter where you go, ask the Father to speak to you. Ready? Everybody just do this. Lift your hands and say, Father.
Father.
I want to know you more.
I want to know, you more.
Speak to me 24/7.
Speak to me 24/7. 7 days a week.
Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
I receive you.
I receive you.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Isn't it wonderful? Amen. Don't you love to study God's word?
Amen.
I love it. I love it. If we don't start communion real quick, I'm going to start preaching all over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good to have my father-in-law, Lee Papel, with us tonight. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for being with me. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us and given to us, provided for us. Lord, I ask that you continue to take care and watch over all of us. Thank you again. And amen.
Amen. That's a wonderful prayer. And if you didn't hear it, go back and wind the tape up again and rehear it. Now, I encourage you to share this teaching tonight with other people. Some people are the people that
before you close, Mama.
That
the things that I watched that were under that cabinet.
Some of you have friends that are needing God.
Yeah,
it's
don't worry about us. We're just doing communion here. Now, I welcome you to receive communion with us. Now, guys, we don't just do juicing crackers. This isn't just juicing crackers. Jesus told the disciples, I have longed to receive this Passover with you. And it's because he knew it was the last Passover. In front, think about Jesus. This is one of the most amazing days of Jesus' life. I know I just said I'm not going to preach, but I got to say this. Jesus knows in 1 hour he's going to be suffering. And yet he's so filled with joy before the Passover meal begins, because he knows this is the last Passover meal. There'll never be another lamb that has to be slain. He's the lamb that will be slain. And from now on, man doesn't have to go to a building to get in the presence of God. He will be the temple. Can you imagine the joy that's on Jesus, on the inside of Jesus' heart, as he's thinking, I have longed to take this last Passover. He didn't say last Passover according to what they wrote, to take this Passover feast with you, but he knew it was the last one. Listen, Jesus knew that the veil of the temple was going to be rent from the top to the bottom. What did that do? That opened up the holy place so that you and I, by Jesus' blood, can enter in with great boldness. Woo! I want to preach the communion verses now. Do I need to have you read them so you don't preach? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, it just feels really good to be sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the chair in my truck. I'm not saying anything else. Thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing in our life. We rejoice in it. You ready? Here comes the communion verses from the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28 and 31. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, I'm going to let that rabbit get by. Sister Phyllis said it's why she don't preach, because she chased all the rabbits. On the same night he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember what he said? Man will not live by bread alone, but by the word. His word. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, because his wife said, read the Bible. Jesus didn't have a wife, but I do. He took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. He's the head, we're the body. Perfect love cast out fear and all the torment and trauma that goes with it. Torment, trauma, I bind you now, get off of every one of these people's lives. In this very moment now, scat! Brother Hagin would say it, scat! In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. Different tonight. everybody pray this prayer with me. All right?
All right.
I thank you, God, my Father.
I thank you, God, my Father.
That you sent Jesus to redeem my life.
That you sent Jesus to redeem my life.
By his blood. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For giving yourself for me. So that I can be made whole in you.
So that I can be made whole in you.
Every day. I choose to believe. Everybody sit with me. You are the only begotten Son of God. And you rose again just for me. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life.
I receive you, Jesus, into my life.
All of your grace and mercy. All of your love and righteousness. Filling every part of my life. With all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins. Are imputed against me. I am now a new creation. In Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me. With the Holy Spirit and fire. So I live in power. Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day. Surround me with godly people. Who will help me know how to walk with you.
I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. So good to have Lee here with us.
Yes, it is.
Good to have him praying this with us. Now, what just happened, Pastor? You were born again. You were made new. You went from darkness to light, fear to faith, sin to righteousness. You became a new creation. You are now heirs of God and joint heir with Jesus. And really, the greatest thing that happened, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit just came and lived inside of you like we just taught you. Isn't that just wonderful? Now, it'll take the whole bunch of us to help you get to heaven, right? That's how it is. And so, click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. And be here with us every time we're teaching. Send me a question or 10. hgpreacherman@gmail.com. I will answer you. If you don't want to send one to me because you're a woman, send it to Leanne.
Amen.
Or Joyce Myers or somebody else. No. We want to help you walk with God. And we literally have 1,000 videos we can help you walk with God with. That is not an exaggeration. I looked it up the other day. I looked it up and said, oh my, I got a lot of editing to do. But anyways, we want you to walk with us and walk with God. Get your communion elements. You ready? And I'm going to put these words up on the screen like we did. Share the screen. Share the screen. Almost. Share the screen. All right. Now, what we've done is we've put the words up on the screen so that you can read them with us. Now, every bit of these words are constructed by the Holy Spirit in a way to help you know God and his word. Everything you're getting ready to read is straight out of the word of God about communion, about the blood of Jesus, about the body of Christ. Ready? Pray, just read this, speak it, declare it, pray it with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Now, pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotion, there is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you now are seated with the Heavenly Father. Now, we're going to speak a bunch of verses about the blood of Jesus. So you will literally learn right now as we pray this prayer about the blood of Jesus. And then when we're finished, we'll all receive it together. Here we go. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price
and
righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new.
By the blood of Jesus,
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's receive it together. And then it says that they sang a hymn and went out. Let's sing my dad's favorite hymn. My dad's in heaven. Can you imagine what that song sounds like in heaven? Ready? What can wash? That's not my dad's favorite song. Hold on. Let me say the right word here. Yeah. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And my dad would say, sing it again. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Woo! And then he would grab his trombone and play it. I had a good dad. I have seen my dad jump over the altar, run down the center aisle, and right out the back door, out in the yard, run around the sign and come in, back in and be preaching. Just fired up about the new revelation he'd just seen about God. It was amazing. Thank God for a good dad. Well, that's it, guys. Not like, that's a good word tonight. Thank you, Father, for your holy word. Now, Sister Phyllis, can you read the closing verses?
Okay, am I unmuted? I sure am. You want Jude 20 through 25?
Yeah, let's do Ephesians. I don't want to wear Brother Jude out, you know. He's like, hey, you guys forget about the Church of Ephesus?
No, but so often we read Ephesians during our regular...
Yeah, you're right.
Do you want chapter 1, verses 14 through... 23 or...
Yeah, the end of the chapter. Yeah.
That's good. 17 through 20, whatever. The end. Okay.
Do it.
All right. Okay. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in
Amen.
That which
age
is to come.
Amen.
And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that's the end of the verse. I mean, the chapter.
Amen. You did it. I love these verses because he says, exceeding abundantly above all we can ask of them. And
now that was that's, you want me to read that part? That's chapter 3.
Oh, you're right. Oh, well, yeah, you're right. That is 3. My phone jingled and my
yeah, it's verse 20.
Do it.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. You got any more, Phyllis?
Oh, she has more.
That's what we love about our sister Phyllis. That's what we love. Amen. Well, all right, that's it for tonight. Love you guys. All of you on Blog Talk Radio, we love you. Thank you for being here with us. Any way that we can help you walk with God, we will. Just so we know, I want everybody to know this. I just checked last night. South Korea is the second most listening to nation to this program. Behind the Blog Talk Radio, behind the United States, they're number 2. And right behind them is Japan. I've never been to South Korea or Japan, and I don't even know anybody in them places.
Well, my brother Sam went there for the Korean War type thing, whatever.
There you go.
Conflict.
There you go. Well, thank you. We love you guys. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Send this video to many people. It's one of the greatest things they'll ever learn. It's the most important thing to learn, and that is walk with God every day of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. To all y'all, all y'all over there on YouTube, we sure do love you. It's so good to see you, Okalarsen. It's so good to see you.